Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King. Thank you for the breath of life. Thank you for allowing us to see another day. Thank you for the Shabbat. Thank you for strengthening us throughout this week. We ask you to forgive us for all our sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly. Father, we ask that you continue to watch over us. Thank you for protecting us, our children, our kins, and zakanas. Thank you for watching over the poor, the sick. Continue to strengthen them. Thank you for providing our daily needs, Father. Thank you for everything that you do for us on a daily basis. We ask that you continue to open our hearts and our minds up to your word. Continue to reveal yourself to us that we may come a little closer to you, Father. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, O Lord. Blessed are you, Yahweh. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. It's your brother, Day Well. Toda Rabah Aki. It's your brother, Day Well. And welcome to Magnify the Torah and Make It Honorable. Been a little while since we talked. You know, been a lot of good messages have been coming through. It's really been working with the Kohanim and bringing forth his word, you know. Just pray that everybody's been taking their time and doing their due diligence, you know. And, you know, so we can get this thing right. You know, because at the end of the day, no matter how many good messages come through, if you're not doing your due diligence, then what is it for? You know, he's not just giving messages to the brothers, give his messages to the sisters. You know, for us, he's not encouraging us just to encourage us. You know, these are steps, building blocks, you know, just to keep us going and keep us motivated. But today we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15. The song at the sea. you know, I've really put it on my mind to look at that. And there's some really surprising things in there. You know, he put it on my mind, and I started talking to Ahab Bell about it. And it just so happened Ahab was going through it at the same time I was going through it. So, you know, he showed me some things. I shared some things with him. He shared some things with me. And I was like, whoa. You know, but that's how Abba work. You know, if you get a chance to share some things with a brother, talk to him. You know, because you never know what Abba is showing that brother at that time. But we're going to start in John chapter 5. And we're going to read this whole chapter. Excuse me. So, John or Yehuchanan, chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it reads, after this, there was a feast of the Jews or the Yehudim, and Yahushua went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halted, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole, whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Yahushua saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time, in that case, he saith unto him, will thou be made whole? So ask him, you been here forever? You want to get healed? Verse 7. The impotent man answered. Excuse me. Oh, yeah, I missed that. I wrote that down, but it's wrong because there's no Hebrew in this part. But okay, it says, the impotent man answered him, verse 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Yahushua saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews, therefore, said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. So, again, we've been through the scenario. Man was just made whole, and they weren't about this man carrying his bed. Verse 11, he says, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not or wist not who it was. For Yahushua had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Yahushua findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. He says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Yahushua which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Yahushua and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Verse 17. But Yahushua answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So here's the claim by Yahushua. He says, okay, it's the Sabbath day. My Father working on the Sabbath day, so I'm working on the Sabbath day. So I would say, what is the work that is going on? What work is the Father doing? So he led me to the book of Hebrews, starting in chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And it reads, For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. So this implies a work is being done year by year, but it was a shadow of it. It wasn't the actual work, but this was the shadow of the work. You was getting a glimpse of it by the sacrificial system. But just because you're getting a glimpse of it, this is not perfection. It couldn't make you perfect. The work itself has to make you perfect. He says, verse 2, it says, For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sin. So that's the work that the Father is doing. He's purging us and trying to get us to sin no more. He's trying to get our conscience together, or our spirit together, or our soul together, as the brother was talking about, so that we sin no more, so that we don't have any consciousness of sin. He says, verse 3, But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Oops. Hold on. Go back one chapter, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 14. Okay. Hope everybody is with me. Hebrews chapter 9, starting at verse 1. It says, Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, in a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick, and the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, in the Ark of the Covenant overly roundabout with gold. We're in was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Yah. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. So, into the first tabernacle where the showbread and all that stuff is. All the priests rolled up in there. All the priests was doing the work of the Most High up in there. But he says in that second tabernacle where the ark is and the censer, only the high priest went up in there. That's it. And he took blood, which he had to offer for the people, and for offer for himself and the people. Verse 8. The Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way of the holiest was not yet made manifest, while at the first tabernacle was yet standing. So, the fact that only the high priest could go in there, could go behind the veil, was letting us know this first tabernacle, the way to the holiest, the way to the Father was cut off. And so a work was done. He says, again, he said, the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way of the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while the first tabernacle was yet standing. Verse 9, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Again, all the stuff that they was doing did not perfect them. But the Father was still working. Perfecting the conscience is his work, which he accomplishes. He says, it says, as pertaining to the conscience, verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But Messiah, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies of the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to Yah, purge your consciousness from dead works to serve the living mighty one. So again, Messiah is doing that work that the Father is doing. My Father works here too, so I'm working here too. Last one. Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It reads, "At that time, Yahushua went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were at hunger and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Shabbat day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was a hunger, and they that was with him, how he entered into the house of Mighty One and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were on him, but only for the priests, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Shabbat and are blameless?" So again, why you interject this one? The Pharisees, and the way that they will keep on coming at Yahushua, was in that dead consciousness. They keep on coming at him. "You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law." But Yahushua is giving you scripture that you're not paying attention to. And we're going to see that a little bit later, how much they really wasn't paying attention to him. But he keep on coming at him, trying to break him out of this dead state, this dead consciousness that they have. "You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law." Amen. David went into the temple and ate that which was only the priest was supposed to eat. The priest profaned the Sabbath. How are you coming at me? Because I plucked a couple combs. "You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law. You're breaking the law." All right, let's go back. Remember that. Dead state. Go back to John. And we stopped at chapter 17. Stopped at verse 17. John chapter 5. Going back to John chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "But Yahushua answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore, the Yahudim sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Shabbat, but said also that Yah was his father, making himself equal with Yah. Remember that. Remember that verse right there. Verse 19, he says, "Then answered Yahushua and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, greater work than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whomsoever he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which sent him. That's up in Psalms chapter 2, verse 12. Psalms 2:12. It reads, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So honor the Son. Kiss him. Don't make him angry, because he will make you perish. Why? We just read it. All judgment was given unto the Son. Father ain't judging nobody. He deferred it to the Son. Back to John chapter 5. It says, 5:23. It says that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. You hear that? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Remember that verse. Verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yah, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at these things, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnessed of me is true. You sent unto John, and he bear witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from men, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his life. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, they are witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. That's how you know they don't believe that word. It's not in them. Search the scriptures. Verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye will receive him. How can you believe, which receive honor one from another, and seek not the honor that cometh from Yah only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moshe, in whom you trust. Remember that verse 2. For had you believed Moshe, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? So again, you know, we're not going to beat their horse. But just to make this point for anyone who is listening, you cannot believe the New Testament and not believe the Old. Plain and simple. And they're not my words. You know, that's what Yahushua just said. You can't believe anything Yahushua said and say that the Old Testament is done with. Those two things don't mesh. All right? So now, let's go to Exodus chapter 15 and read some of the things that Moshe wrote that Yahushua said we should believe. All right? Exodus chapter 15, starting at verse 1. It reads, then sang Moshe and the children of Israel this song unto Yahweh, and spake, saying, I will sing unto Yahweh, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath thrown into the sea. So, in the Hebrew, when it says he has triumphed gloriously, right? That word is ga'ol, ga'ah. The funny thing is that it's the exact same word. You know? So anybody who's been looking into the Hebrew, whenever they want to, like you say, like the most common one is say, you will surely die. That word is, most of the time, that phrase is muth, muth. What they do is they take the same word and put it twice to give that, emphasis on it. Like, you're not going to die. You won't surely die. You know? Well, in this case, in verse 1, when it says, you triumph gloriously, that word is ga'ah, ga'ah. Right? Now, in the Hebrew, number 1, 3, 4, 2, again, the word is ga'ah, and it means to melt up or to rise, be majestic. Right? But the funny thing that Abba led me to go, he put it twice, ga'ah, ga'ah. And when you think about what happened, it says to mount up or to rise and be majestic. Well, what was mounting up or what rose and was real majestic? And it's the same, it's two. And so think about that whole situation. When they were crossing the sea, right? And that strong east wind came. and it hit that water, and it caused that water to rise up or mount up, right? To mount up, to grow up, to be lifted up. Because when you look, when you look at the parent root, right? It's the gimel and the hay, right? It's the gimel and the hay. But it's talking about this thing is lifting up or rising up, because this is the actual root for pride also. Something that is lifted up. But think about it. It's the gimel and the hay. You're walking and beholding. Well, what was happening? What was the Egyptians seeing? They were seeing them walk across this dry land. The Egyptians were literally beholding Israel walk between two walls of water that was risen up. And they walking on dry land. Right? So oh, buddy. All right. In verse 2, it reads, Yahweh is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, first thing, when it says in verse 2, it says, Azi the Zimarast, right? It says, Azi is my strength. But the Zimarast is not and song, is my songs, is plural. So, Azi Zimarast Yah, right? So the subject of this verse is Yah, right? How he is the strength, how he is the songs, right? Now, we keep on going down. It says, Vahai, which means become or exist, right? That's the word for existence, ahaya. But it has the waw in front of it, so it's uhaya. Uhaya, Li, Leshua, or towards or to salvation, right? Zay is he, but now here's where it gets real interesting. This word, Eli, my God. So, okay. Before Yahushua claimed Yah to be his God, Moshe claimed Yah to be his God. Right? Then the next word is Ve'ehenu. Now, this word, the word is, and the phrase is, I will prepare him a habitation. This word is Ve'ahehu. Now, the word is coming from number 5115, right? And this word is Nava, which means to rest. It says to rest as at home, causively through the implied idea of beauty. Right, to celebrate with praises, but it really means to beautify, right? So when you think about what he's saying, he said, I will prepare him. I will beautify my mighty one. I will beautify Yah. Now take that into consideration, right? Where we go look at this one. In Malachi chapter 3. Hold your fingers there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. Right? Oops. Malachi 3, chapter 17. It says, and if you get a chance, read this. Read this. Listen to this whole chapter. But just for the sake, it says 17. It says, and they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, think about that. Think about how Yahweh says, I'm making up jewels. But Moshe is singing a song about beautifying the Most High. And then we had a shadow of a good thing to come in the high priest, and how his garment was had all these jewels in it, and he bare, and those jewels were, each one inside the breastplate was one for Israel, a tribe of Israel. So you had the diamond, you had the emerald, you had the sapphire, you had all these different jewels within the breastplate. Then you had these two onyx stones that was on his shoulders, right? And then you had that gold plate across his forehead. That was a shadow of a good thing to come, how Yisrael beautified the Most High, right? But think about that. See, because in our world, it's not the thing. Clothes don't make the man. Man make the clothes. It's no different. Yahweh will beautify us. Well, how did Yahweh beautify Moses? See, it came a time when Moses went in his presence, and he was up there, and he was around Yahweh so long that it was some beams of light just busting out his head. He was so beautiful. He was shining like a diamond. Right? He was so beautiful that he literally had to veil himself. He had to take and cover himself. Because he was that close to the Most High. He beautified and exemplified what a man should be. What a man in the Most High should be. Up until Yahushua, or Mashiach, took it to the next level. No slight against Moshe. You know, but Moshe did what he was supposed to do. And his reward was, Yahweh just, boom, to the point Israel couldn't look at him. Right? So he said, I will, he says, all right. He's my salvation. What's your salvation? My God. Then it says, I will prepare him. Sorry about that, friend. I will prepare him a habitation, right? Or I will beautify him. Now, here's the next part. It says, Elohei, or Elohi, which is my God. But then here's the next word. Avi, or Abi, my father. So it's not saying he is my father's God. No, he's saying I will beautify my God, my Father. That's what he's saying. It's a statement. It's not, it's, he is my Father. It's how we say it. No, it's not that way. He said, I'm going to beautify my God. I'm going to beautify my Father. So now, think about what they did to Yahushua. They said he's wrong for comparing himself to the Most High, to Yah. He's wrong for that. No, Yahushua didn't do that. Moshe did it. But again, how can you believe any words that came out of his mouth if you didn't believe what Moshe wrote? Remember, y'all breaking the Sabbath day. Y'all breaking the Sabbath day. But you didn't read in the Word what took place on the, with David? You didn't read in the Word what the priest did? You're comparing yourself to, you're blowing yourself up. You're not equal to the Most High. Wait a minute. Moshe calls Yah. And remember, this is the passage that has Yah name in it. He's talking about the Father. He's the one who called Yah his Father. But yet you're ready to kill the Messiah. You ready to stone him. And it said, they sought to kill him even more for that statement. They already wanted to take his life. But when he said, my Father works and I work, well, wait a minute, we really going to kill you now? Because you can't be on the same level as the Father. Wait a minute. Moshe was. And it's no different. Because you don't believe the ones that were sent. You didn't believe Moshe. Another one sent by the Father. So the same treatment he got, I got. Even though I'm just giving you his words back to you. He says, my God, my Father, I will exalt and I will exalt. I will raise him up. That's the word for room. All right? So, verse 3. It reads, Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is his name. You know, we're not going to look at all of them because that one there is straightforward. Yep. That one is a straightforward one. Right? But keep in mind, this is not just one song. Right? These are songs. Remember, that word was plural. It was in my reef. It says, Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also drowned in the Red Sea. That's wrong. Right? It says, the depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious. Thy right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Yahweh, hath dashed the enemy into pieces. And in greatness, and in greatness of thy excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them in stubble. And with the blast of thy nostril, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Now, this one is kind of interesting too. because it's talking about, it's, you know, and with the blast, that word is ruach, and which is spirit, right, of thy nostrils, you know, and don't, you know, and ruach also talks about wind, right? The word for congealed, right? Number 7087, right? And this word is kafah, and it means to shrink. That is as unwrapped wine, curdled milk, cloudy sky, frozen water. So think about when Yahweh's breath came through, right? It wasn't water standing up. It came through, and it was walls of ice on the side. When it hit, that's why it stood up the way it did, right? Because it thickened, right? So they was walking, but you still had the water on the one side, and you had the water on the other side. So as they was walking, what happens when water, when ice is with water? It starts to melt, right? Don't we put ice cubes inside of water, or we can have the ice cubes inside of the cup. As soon as that water starts to hit it, the ice starts to melt. So as that blast came through, the land was dry. The water standing up, right? But you want a timer. And what's going to happen to the ice? The ice going to start to melt. So here comes Pharaoh and behind Israel. Ice melting. They're going through muddy ground that was dry. And if anybody ever been in Baltimore, you could step on some cold after it rained in this wintertime, because we just came out the winter. It rained a little bit, and that cold air hardened the ground. It's dry and it's hard, and you can walk on it. But as it thaws out, it gets muddy. And we're just going on about what this word means or says. Right? So, it said the floods, in the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. Verse 9, the enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covers them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. So another wind came and dropped all that water on them. All right? But in verse 9, it says, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. And when you use those words, the pursue and overtake, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45. It reads this. It says, moreover, all these curses have come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and shall overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkens not unto the voice of Yahweh, thy mighty one, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. So, I just found it interesting that those words were, it says the enemy said these things. So think about that. That was just, we're running from sin. Sin was trying to pursue, you got righteous people trying to outrun sin. And think about it. Moses said something. In verse, what was this? 19, in 14th chapter. It says in the book of Exodus chapter 14, right? We're going to start at verse 10. And think about this in correlation of the work that Yahweh is doing. The work that Yah is doing. The work that Yahushua is doing. What we read, purging our minds of sin. It says, Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 10. He says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto Yahweh. And they said unto Moshe, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. Verse 13, and Moshe said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Yahweh shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. In other words, Yahweh is doing this work, and what we see there is the sin trying to overtake Israel. But Yahweh made a way. He made a way for Israel to escape. He became their salvation. And not only did he become the salvation, it says he will fight for you. What did he do? Drown them. He drowned the Egyptians. Just like Moses said, you ain't going to see it no more. So what he's saying, what we're getting is a glimpse. Look. You outrun that sin. Why? That sin is trying to pursue and overtake you. But don't worry about it. Stay still. I got the fight. Just do what I tell you. Right? Just do what I tell you. I got the fight. He says, verse 10. Verse 9. He says, the enemy says, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Verse 10, thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Verse 11, who is like unto thee, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? That's Mika Mocha for anybody who didn't catch that. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou and thy mercies have led forth a people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto holy, and the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of the mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Yahweh, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased another one. Because when it says pass over, in both of these names, that word is Abar or Eber, right, where we get the word Hebrew from, right? Now, it says, it says this, Zoroaka, which is, it's the word Zoroa means your arm, right? But Zoroaka means your arm, right? Because you have the word Zoroa, which is the word for arm, Zoroaka, your arm. It says of thy arm, right? Yidimu, which means it's going to be still or silent, right? But here's the part that's kind of interesting, right? Ka'aben, right? Ka'aben means like a stone or as a stone. So you have a stone, right? The next word is Ad, which they translated as until. But the word Ad or Id, Ayin Dalit, also means witness. Then the next word is Yover, Yiber, the word ever with a yod in the front of it. So you got the stone witnessing ever, right? Stone witnessing ever. Then the next word is Ameaka, which is your people or okay, which is your people, right? So you have the stone or like a stone, witnessing ever, right? Your people, Yahweh, then you have the word for witness again, right? Then you have the word for ever again. Then you have people, or im, right? Zu, which is a preposition. Then you have this word, the way it's kanita, right? Now, it comes from number 706 word, 7069, and that word is kana, like you say, kana bina, get understanding or acquire understanding. Well, this is the word that they have for purchased or acquired. So if you look at it, right, a stone witnesses ever your people, Yahweh, your people, right? Stone witnesses ever your people, or the Hebrew people. If the Hebrew people are yours, right? Then you have Yahweh witnesses ever people which he acquired. And that's what they said when they passed over. Well, they passed over, yeah, because when they passed over, it was Eber. They literally, that passing over, they went from one stage to another. That's what you was witnessing. One stage to another. Right? And it was something that Yahushua said to the end back in John. Give me 1 second. Oh. I think it's another time. I get it another time. This might not have been there. Yeah. These are the people that he acquired with the Ibri. Right? And it's written in there. Because it's not... When we do these studies... We don't want our opinions. We don't want anything like this. Abba wrote these things in here. We just got to let him lead us and guide us through it. And we just got to be patient and just got to let it be on his time. So he says, fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thy arm. They shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over. O Yahweh, to thy people Passover, which thou hast purchased. Verse 17 says, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thy inheritance, in the place, O Yahweh, which thou hast for thee, to dwell in the sanctuary, O Master, which thou hands has established. Which thou hands have established. Now, think about what we just read in the book of Hebrews. Where did the high priest go? He went into a holy of holies. He went into the temple that man didn't build. He says, he said, going to the place to dwell, right, of your inheritance, which Yahweh has made, which Yahweh has established or cleaned. It was established by his hands, not by the hands of men. We're not going into the shadows of the good things to come. We're going into the actual things. But in order for us to do that, we have to pass over. So where is he giving us a picture of? He says, verse 18, he says, Yahweh shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And Yahweh brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, or Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to Yahweh, for he hath triumphed gloriously. A horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." All right, so we're going to stop right there. Yahushua falsely accused of stuff. But again, he said, "I'm not going to accuse you of anything. The one you trust Moses, no problem. That's the one that's going to accuse you. Anybody who says that his words are false, don't believe that Old Testament. They don't believe what Moshe wrote. Anybody. They his words. Okay? You're not believing what Moshe wrote. Because it's in there. Sometimes you gotta talk to a brother. Sometimes you gotta wait. Well, you always gotta wait for Allah to reveal it to you. That's always. You know, but just give it some time. So, family, that's the end of this one. You know, into this first week, week one. Hope everybody got something from it. You know, that I will continue to bring forth different things and show you more. You know, so we're going to close out now. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and our trustworthy, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, where you, Almighty One, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the Mighty One, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, the Savior, Redeemer, soon coming King. Father, we thank you once again for the breath of life. We thank you once again for this Shabbat day that you set this time apart for us, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen us, continue to open our minds and our hearts up to your word, continue to reveal to us, continue to slow us down so we may see and hear. We don't want to be as you describe our forefathers. We have eyes but don't see. We have ears but don't hear. We don't want to be like that. We want to hear from you, Father. We want to see the things that you have for us, Father. Continue to watch over all of Israel. Continue to strengthen us where we need to be strengthened. Continue to fight for us when we can't do it. Continue to show us your way. Father, continue to bless everyone, protect everyone, and grow everyone to the sons and daughters that you desire. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family.
And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious. They held harps given them by God, and they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Yes, sir.